tasted and seen of your great love. You satisfy me. You satisfy.
Worship for more. God, there's such a sweet, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. You can be seated this morning. Every year around Christmas time, a very popular Christmas movie is played. I've watched this movie I don't know how many times over my life. It's always an enjoyable watch. I've always enjoyed it. And that's Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, and It's a Wonderful Life. As I was preparing for this message today, we talked about service in our first session. So it's important, serving others, making those connections. Today we're having our connection fair. When I'm finished preaching, we're going to be going into the fellowship hall and making connections. But I begin to think about that. It's a Wonderful Life. What if? Maybe you've never watched the movie, but the crux of the movie is George Bailey is the key character of the movie, and life takes a bad turn. He grows up in small Bedford Falls, wherever Bedford Falls is, but he grows up and worked in a savings and loan, kind of with his uncle, and things kind of turned south. The savings and loan, money's been misplaced, and he's standing over a bridge, looking into the freezing, frigid waters, contemplating ending his life. Doesn't know what else to do. He's let all of these people down, the community. And to his dismay, as he's contemplating finishing his life, someone else, an old man named Clarence, jumps into the water. And all of a sudden, George goes into all about me moment to, I've got to save this man. So he jumps into the water and he drags Clarence, saves Clarence's life. They have a conversation. George finds out Clarence is an angel. And he's trying to earn his wings. So he has to do a good deed. And this is really paraphrasing. But in the course of all of this, George Bailey, in his conversation with Clarence, makes a statement that I wish I never would have been born. Remember that, sister? And Clarence grants him his wish. As of right now, George Bailey no longer exists. So George Bailey was able to see firsthand life, what Bedford Falls would be like if he never existed. Now you could go watch the movie. It's a really good movie, actually. It could be very provocative in thought. What would life be like if you never existed? What would life be like if George Bailey never would have had a conversation with Clarence? How would his life have been different? I begin to think about that. We have our connection fair today, and everything we're talking about today is about service and about connection. I begin to think in my life. I can't use anybody else's life. I would have used my life today. I have never lived your life. I have not made the connections that you have made. But I just want to share with you for just a few minutes on what the difference one connection can make. What the difference one conversation can make in the life of another individual. I look back over my life, and my wife and I, we got married here at Calvary Gospel Church in June of 1981. And we built a duplex on Garden Court. Many of you have been there and have been to pig roast at our old house. I began to think about all of the connections that were made as a result of that, some of them before that. Before that, in 1985, I was working here at Calvary Gospel Church in our school, and I resigned from my position here, and I went to work as a plumbing apprentice, and I began to work for a plumbing company in Wanakee, Ron's Plumbing. This happens to be Sister Linda Wells' dad. And so, Linda, just stand up for a minute. Just stand. This is not going to take long. So we made a connection through Ron, through Linda, and Linda was married to a young man named Rick Wells. And Ricky is out in the vestibule right now, if he could just pop in. And we got to be friends. They weren't attending church here, but we got to be friends, and we had dinner together a few nights, a few times, and they invited us over to their home, and Sister Linda made her infamous ham that did not turn out quite so infamous, and we ended up having pizza. And we laugh about that all of these years later, but because a connection was made, a conversation was had, and a friendship was started, and as a result of a plumbing apprenticeship and meeting Linda, I met Rick, and then years later, they had Kelvin and Caleb. And Kelvin and Caleb, we know Kelvin and we know Caleb. And then Kelvin and Caleb grew up, and we have Jackie and we have Brooke and we have Sienna. And stand up, Jackie. Now, this is just a personal connection. Now, on the other flip side of this, we had at our duplex, we had a couple that rented from us. We didn't know them, never met them before, and their name was Dave and Sarah Wall. And Dave and Jody, that's right. I'm getting names mixed up here. Dave and Jody Wall, we never met them before. They started renting from us, and we invited them to church here and there, and they came, and they had a young little Dave had a boy named Justin, and Justin made connections here. He became best friends with Ryan Hiddesdorf, and they played a lot of games together. Now, Justin and Sarah are not here, but the connection with that is Justin marries Sarah. And Sarah is the mother of Vicki Vernon, daughter. I'm really getting this mixed up. I should have followed my notes. So as a result of a connection with Dave and Jody Wall, we have Justin Wall, we have Sarah Wall, we have their family, and we have Vicki Vernon and Ben Vernon, and we have Rachel Cruz and her husband and her family, all as a result of a connection that was made. In my plumbing apprenticeship, the very first day that I was on the job as a young plumber apprentice, there was another man, young man, that was just out of high school that was on the job that day, and I began to befriend him. We were the newbies, we were the Tobies. And we were the ones that were picked on. And I got to know this young man, and my wife and I, from time to time, he was pretty broke. I mean, he was really in a bad way at times. He'd show up to work with a 2 or 3 day old loaf of bread that he'd buy at Quick Trip for 50 cents. And he had no meat, had nothing to put on it. And he would eat bread and have a bottle of water. And I told my wife, I said, I want you to make extra sandwich for me today because I know I'm going to be working with Jimmy. And I want to take him a sandwich and chips. My wife made this banana bread with chocolate chips in it. And everybody on the job site loved her chocolate chip banana bread. And she'd make it in these little loaves, and I'd take a loaf for Jimmy. Eventually, we invited Jimmy to church, and Jimmy came and was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized. And you may not know this, but I'm talking about Jim Rivas. Where's Jim Rivas? Jimmy, stand up. Jimmy and I have known each other for a long time. Well, it doesn't stop there. The story gets better. Jimmy has a romantic interest, and Amy comes along. And then it's not long that, you know, Abby comes along, Ryan comes along, Kate comes along, but it gets, Ryan, stand up, bro, come on. But you see, Ryan has an interest, and you're standing, sis, Audrey. Where's Ethan? He not here today? We're just waiting for Kate. Kate? All because of a connection. All because of a conversation that was had and an invitation. You can be seated. When we lived in Shawano, which goes all the way back to 1968, we lived real close to the Menominee Indian Reservation, and we had a lot of folks that would come from there to church. We would go up on the reservation. I just remember in those days, we'd go up there, and there was a lot of conflict and such going on, and we had a family that came to church, and they were a unique family, if I could put it that way. I didn't know them real well. I was pretty young at the time, but my dad, I remember that they gave us an album. And it was the Menominee Reservation Choir. I still remember, to this day, the title cut of that album song that they sang was "Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is." Remember that? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright. I still remember that. I still remember being impressed by the chief in his full tribal dress and how awesome it looked. And this man, we left. We went to La Crosse and then here to Madison. But this man had a kind of an interesting past and character and was kind of all over the place. But he ran into a young lady. And this young lady was searching for Jesus, was searching, was looking, had tried all kinds of Eastern religions and all kinds of things. But she ran into this individual that used to attend our church in Shawano that we made an acquaintance with, a relationship, a connection with, back in 1968. And she walked into Calvary Gospel Church, gave her heart to the Lord, and has been a faithful, serving member of Calvary Gospel Church. Anybody want to take a guess at who I'm talking about this morning? Sister Jeanette Thunder. It's a connection that was made on our bus route years and years ago. We used to pick up a little two-year-old girl, cutest little thing, James and Audrey Hawk, Elise Butterfield. Pick her up every Sunday morning and bring her to church. Always dressed so beautiful. I'd go there and Audrey would be at the door. Sometimes James was there, sometimes not. Most of the time not, but when he was there, I was like, man, that dude is big. I was a little guy, okay? I was skinny. I used to look at him and I'm thinking, my word, that guy is tall. Come to the door and he barely could clear the doorway. A connection. They moved from the west side, southwest side to the north side. Brother Seidel made the connection on his bus route and they started coming to church. How many of you have been affected by CIP? Could you stand if you've been affected by CIP? Think about this. If a connection wasn't made and wasn't kept over all of those years, you may not ever be here, some of you. All of those that I just mentioned today, could you stand? Everybody that I mentioned your name. You see, this is, imagine what if we go back to George Bailey and Clarence. What if we never had these conversations, Brother Hawk? We never made these connections, and you were never here. How different would our lives be if each one of you weren't here today? You may look at yourself and you may say, well, you know, I don't have that. You start looking back over your life and you start looking at those little connections that are made. I remember Danny Capaccio on State Street with a long ponytail giving him a track. Remember that? Years and years and years ago. It wasn't just me. It was a collection. We were all part of this, but if we would have made that connection, I think of that, Brother Dan, that night, if we would have made that, if we would have been down there that night, I don't know why the church, the youth, they, at that time we were down there, we were picketing the X-rated bookstore that had moved in. I don't know why they took a bunch of young people down there to do that, but nevertheless, you could be seated. But you see, it's every... life is about making that connection. And you may be here today because you made a connection. Maybe it's just you made a connection as a child and you're seeking, you were looking to go back and say, I want to reconnect. You want to reconnect with Jesus, and then you reconnect with a family. But God is in all of these connections. It just amazes me at the various connections that we have in our lives every day. I look at the Neesums, Jeff and Linda Neesum. We made a connection with them. They came to Calvary Gospel Church. They'd been coming for a month or two, and nobody had befriended them. And I was not a good example at that time, but I just told my wife, I said, I don't know who this couple is, but let's just invite them over for pizza. So we invited Jeff and Linda over for pizza. Didn't even know them, didn't know anything about them. They told us later that night they had decided that this was their last time they were going to come to church because nobody had befriended them. And we happened to ask them over for pizza, and we have known them now for 30 plus years. I think of that, Nate and Lauren. You wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't know them. Nate may be here, but we wouldn't know him. We wouldn't know Wesley. We wouldn't know Lily. We wouldn't know any of them. And it's just amazing to me. We're going to stand with me this morning. We're talking about connections. What if? What if you would have never have made that connection with God? How would your life be different? What if you never had talked to that person at work and they never came to church? How would their life be so different? How would this church be different if we didn't make the connections that we made? We wouldn't even, none of us would even be here. It's all because connections were made. So today we're going to be leaving this sanctuary. We're going to have a little bit of prayer time. Maybe you haven't made your connection today with Jesus. He's the one that you need to. He's the one that we're all connected with. That's a connection we all have in common, and that's a relationship with Jesus. And all of the other relationships are added to that because you're all part of my family, my spiritual family. We all have the same Father. His blood flows through all of our veins. So this morning, maybe you haven't made that Jesus connection. I just want to invite you down to our altar. here on our my left, your right, if you've never received the Holy Ghost or been baptized, I want to invite you this morning. Maybe you need a healing in your body. I want to invite you to come down to this side right over here. And if you need prayer for your body this morning, maybe you're just struggling. Life is just a struggle. And you'd like to make a deeper connection with God. I just want to invite you to come down to our middle area here. If our altar team could come down and join me this morning. Now, at the conclusion of this service, we're going to all go into the fellowship hall. We have Chicago-style hot dogs, which are phenomenal. Brother Ty is cooking up some vittles for us. And we have a number of different booths, if you want to call it that. Number of different connection points that you could go and you could visit and you could make those connections. So whatever your interest is, I just want to challenge you this morning. Before you leave, go over, make a connection. You may say, well, you know what? I don't really have an interest in a ministry. Make a connection with some person, an individual. Individuals make up ministries. Make that connection. That connection you make may just be a connection that saves someone's life, spiritually, physically, emotionally. So as our worship team begins to sing, I want to invite us just for a season of prayer. If you're going to want to stand, that's fine. Thank God for the connection that you have, for the connections that you have, the relationships that you have. God bless you.
Yes.
want to thank you for being here this morning. You're a guest of ours. It's so great to have you here. Just a reminder, our fellowship hall, you head out the sanctuary doors, you go to the right, you go right through the double doors. All of the food, everything's there. Take advantage of it. And God bless you all. Go make a connection. God bless.